WEEI.
All right. We just got my favorite text of the afternoon. Somebody said, wait for Jason Tatum to go on Paul George's podcast.
I'm going to listen to that now. That'll be weekend listening. Paul George's podcast, the PG-13 podcast.
Who is it who is saying that Jason Tatum's is energized now? He's going to be energized to be playing with Paul George. He loves Paul George.
That's Chris Forsberg last night on NBC Sports Boston. I think that's a huge – don't you – that's the first I've heard of any – I didn't know their connection.
Yeah.
But that, to me, is exhibit A of Tatum drove the bus on this somewhat.
It could be. I mean, there's a lot of weird things going on with how this was all announced and how it all went down. First of all, I thought it was a fake story, but it's real. Brad Stevens did deactivate his Instagram account.
Oh, that is 100% confirmed?
Well, okay. Yahoo Sports is reporting it. So Yahoo Sports is legit. So, I mean, I guess that's the case. But yeah, so I guess people were obviously so pissed. And by the way, what kind of a-hole goes to his Instagram account and like starts yelling at him?
Me.
Stiz is that a-hole. But yeah, so he deactivated that because no one can figure out why the hell they did this. And there's a lot of different, you know, speculation. There's much different reasons.
Well,
because
if you listen to Mannix, who's obviously very plugged in. Now, granted, I'm sure he has a lot of Celtics sources, but he said this was not money-driven, not ownership-driven, right? Unlike Bill Simmons, who pointed to financials as to why they would not go all in for Giannis.
Is this becoming which insider do you trust?
Yeah.
Because it really right now, it makes all the sense in the world with everything they've been doing that it's because of the money. And the way that, like...
Why?
Because of what happened last season when they got where they shed all that money as well.
That's true.
And also, they weren't willing to do that third year with Giannis, according to reports, too. That shows that that's all about money. And also some of the reports that you heard. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find who said it.
Because they are spending right now $204 million. I mean, they're hard capped at the first apron, which is $210 million. So I think they have like, you know, $5, $6 million to spend, whatever. There's some dollars and cents there. But they are pretty much spending to what they can this year. However, I guess you could make the case, and Ted was, that you're getting Paul George to get out from under that deal next year, whereas Jalen, you're locked in for many years.
And you don't need an extension, and you're not going to give an extension to Paul George, that's pretty much understood because he's 36 years old. I think there's no expectations there that you're going to give him any more years.
But so are we saying that Sixth Street and Bill Chisholm, their plan is to make profits and then sell it, like they're going to flip it, or are they going to hold on to this puppy for like 20 years? Like they're talking about building a new stadium and all this stuff starting to come out. So... is this going to be a yearly thing or just like a 2-year cleanup and then they're going to rid their hands of it?
Well, so first of all, let me just answer one thing is that, you know, is it about the money? I think it could be about both about the money and be about the attitude problem that Jalen Brown had.
The toxicity.
That's Chris Mannix's words, not mine. He used the term that there was a toxicity between Jalen Brown and the organization. And a lot of it had to do with, he wanted to be treated the same way that Jason Tatum was. He felt he was being disrespected. My God, we heard it when he was talking about how this was his favorite season. That was fairly disrespectful to Jason Tatum. That sounded like it was a Johnson measuring contest as well. So I think you can have both things be true. It just adds to more reasons why you would want to trade him. And I honestly believe that ownership was like, we get it for Giannis. We understand at this amount. But we won't go 3 years for an extension. We'll go 2. That's a money decision. But if that doesn't work, we are in no way, shape, or form ever going to extend Jalen Brown to those extra 2 years for $70 million a year. So you better find a trade partner. And I think the pressure was on Brad Stevens. Why they did it now, I have no idea. But it seemed like everybody in the league was in on this whole Jalen Brown is toxic. Because that's, once again, Mannix saying the same thing. Teams did not like the fact that somebody was going to be showing up who felt like he had to prove something, that he was better than one of his own teammates, and they didn't like that. They didn't like that culture-wise. And as Mannix said the best, Sixers got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, why the hell not?
Right.
Let's get him in here. So I think, but you can also have it be, I think it can be both ways. And it was just more of a reason, double the reason for you to get rid of him.
So a blame pie. Now, real quick, though, because is part of that blame pie, get the words out, that Tatum wanted Paul George. Like Brad Stevens said, we have an offer. It's from Philly, and it's your guy, Paul George. And here's Forsberg on NBC last night talking about that relationship.
It would be atypical of what Tatum has done in the past and would be out of character for him to voice it. He's typically stayed out of those, or at least publicly. Whether it's come out in support or come out against, he's just never been that type of guy. I do think his voice carries some weight. I would say, like, Paul George is one of his favorite players. He's repeatedly said that he, like, idolized him growing up. And so I think he's probably going to be pretty energized to play with him.
I guarantee you Brad Stevens went to Jason Tatum and told him, hey, listen, we're most likely going to be trading Jaylen Brown. I'm going to keep you in the loop as to what some of these offers are. I want to know who you like, who you may want to play with. And I guarantee you they probably said, well, how about Paul George? And he was like, I love Paul George. I idolize Paul George. Paul George is my buddy. We're best friends. We give each other back scratches and reach arounds. I want to have this guy on my roster.
That's horrible.
It is. But, you know.
That's an indictment of Tatum. If that's true.
That's more an indictment of Brad Stevens if he gave Tatum that kind of power. Because, I mean, Tatum's just being asked who you want to play with, and he says, I'll play with this guy.
But Tatum would
That's Brad Stevens. That's a bad decision to leave it in the hands of, you know, you're GM for a reason. You are the one who constructs these teams because you think that each piece will fit to make a better product. And in this case, I don't see in any way, shape, or form having Paul George here is going to improve your team better than what it was with Jaylen Brown.
No. I mean, the money matches, which is important. You have to do that, but it's just... 36, and we've seen him. He's never won a title. He plays. He's not reliable. You just cannot trust him. He is good in spurts. We have seen that in this playoff series. Maybe that's part of what they're thinking. We're good enough to make the playoffs, even if Paul George is not on the roster, with just Tatum and all our supporting cast. And then come playoff time, George, here you go, and maybe something at the trade deadline. I don't know.
What PED was he suspended for last season?
They didn't name it specifically, but he said it was related to his mental health.
Okay, and that's something on the list?
It could have been something that wasn't prescribed, maybe, like a Xanax or something. I don't know. I'm speculating, which I shouldn't.
Well, listen, yeah, I shouldn't
that's
speculate.
HIPAA. Can't do that.
I can't. All right, let's go to Jaden on line one. What's up, Jaden? How's it going?
I don't know. Yeah, I just didn't really know what was going through Brad Stevens' head. We took Paul George, who's on a Supermax, on one of the worst contracts, 4 years, $211 million. I just don't, like, we couldn't just got, like, VJ Edgecombe or Joel Embiid. I know we just got Mitchell Robinson, but I just don't know what was going on through Brad Stevens' head.
Well, Jaden, the story is that Brad Stevens goes, you know what, we'll make this trade for Edgecombe. And they went, nope, you're taking Paul George. And he went, we're taking Paul George. Yeah, it wasn't originally Paul George. And here's the great thing about all this. Here's the thing that should really make you happy as a Celtics fan, is that up until yesterday, there was thinking around the NBA that if Paul George's contract was to be moved, that the Sixers would give you a pick to take it because it was such a burden. But instead, we gave that. This is so awful. It's so awful.
Well, not only that, Rich, you were pissed at four firsts.
Yes, because that meant they would have to rebuild and do it. Yeah, I mean, this is
two firsts and 2 seconds.
It's bad.
Not even a pick swap that you can, like, confuse yourself thinking about, well, what does that mean?
It's bad. It's bad. It's very bad. But it is interesting because stepping back, man, Tatum, you better be effing great. And on top of that, Peyton Pritchard, you better be freaking, like, you're putting these guys
Ugo
in a position where Ugo,
Spanish Jordan,
well the Ugo,
Ugo
thing, I actually legitimately feel bad for Ugo and Baylor Shireman, because the original report was that the Giannis trade would have happened if Brad Stevens would have offered up those two guys. And now we don't have Giannis, and everyone's looking at Ugo and Baylor and going, well, you effers better be good, because now we got Paul effing George.
If LeBron could pick same money, Sixers or Celtics, who should he play for? Who would he pick?
I mean, he would probably play for the Sixers, I would think.
Really?
I
mean, according to Mannix, they have a markedly better roster, so I guess you're right.
Reports are the Sixers reached out to LeBron. Maxie's a lot of fun. I mean, he's a fun player to play with.
Embiid, much better front court guy, so if you're looking for that kind of combo.
I know he loves Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, I think Boston. I think he'd come play with Tatum.
And even though
he likes Boston,
the report that the Jaylen Brown thing is over, the fact that he ripped Bronny, I think that's probably bothers him. He doesn't want to play with Jaylen. Right?
You know what? You might be right. And how cool would it be if you got LeBron? I mean, I still don't think that that's the piece that makes you the favorite in the East.
Do you like the Anthony Davis? Perk says go get Anthony Davis. Get rid of
dude. If you can get
Paul
Anthony
George.
Davis, hell yeah, get Anthony Davis.
I would too.
You know what? Sure, Anthony Davis still has a little bit left in the tank. You know, I absolutely.
The Celtics are older than Golden State. We were mocking how old they are.
I know.
Between Paul George and
Conley.
Mike Conley.
It's true. It's true. I know. They were the Expendables of the NBA, and now look at the Celtics. They're just sitting there doing the same thing. All right, 617-779-7937. We have been taking your messages to Brad Stevens and the front office, and we will play some of those. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Not going anywhere. 2 minutes. Hello.
Sorry, YouTube just froze on me.
Oh, how about that? Oh, the old
Carpenter
YouTube.
Blaming his tools.
By the way, there is a guy who's very angry at us on the text. He has texted about 10 times today saying, "Hey, dummies, get your facts straight. Philly is eating a good percentage of Paul George's contract." And to that I say, no, they're not.
Nah, I have not seen that anywhere.
I have not seen that report anywhere. So thank you for texting us.
In fact, Paul George got a $3 million trade bonus. His money went from 54 to $57 million because he got traded.
It just gets better and better. It is 93.7 WEEI. It's Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. Julia from Waltham. What's up, Julia? How you doing?
Oh, it's Waltham. That's where Lorenzo did his batting.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi.
Hi, Julia.
I'm okay. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm pissed, obviously.
Of course.
I sent in some text earlier, and I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. That's the best word to use.
That's a good word.
So do you think that there's any hope that this team will, like, have any kind of shot at doing anything significant this season as constituted, as the team is right now?
You know, I mean, playoff bound, sure, but I have no idea what seed we're going to be and who knows how far we're going to get. I don't, like, obviously I'm still too emotional to, like, think that far down the line, but my God.
Are you one of those people like me who is reading a little bit into this whole thing where Jason Tatum has not said anything about this trade yet?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I follow both of the Jays on Instagram, and I noticed that Jason, you know, posted his story for the Hoops that he, you know, his camp, whatever that may be. I don't know the exact name, but nothing, like nothing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's posted twice since the trade happened, and it has nothing to do with him. There's been, and what's weird too is you could say, well, you know, it's wait till it's all official and stuff. Mitchell Robinson got traded to the Celtics, or ended up coming to the Celtics, and like all of his teammates are posting all this stuff. Like, oh, we're going to miss you. OG Anunoby puts a crying emoji. I mean, this is what you do when one of your teammates leaves.
That's true.
But for some reason, the silence is absolutely deafening. Julia, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Good job.
So we have been all day since we've been on the air. You can go to the Odyssey app, press that little microphone button, and people have been leaving messages.
To the Causeway Command Center.
Yes, not take grenades, but they've been leaving messages for Brad Stevens and the front office. Let's go to the voicemail, shall we?
Hey, this is Brad.
And Bill.
And the Sixth Street Private Equity Group.
Leave a message after the beep.
Let's go, Paul George.
All right. Let's go to the voicemails left. You have left for Brad Stevens and upper management.
Letters to Brad.
And owners of your Boston Celtics. Let's go to number one.
I'm a diehard Philadelphia 76ers fan. And for the last 3 years, we thought that nobody would be stupid enough to take the Paul George contract off of our hands. Jaylen Brown is an excellent player, and he's always been better than Jason Tatum. Thank you, Brad Stevens. Thank you, Boston Celtics. Thank you. We love you. 10-9-8 76ers.
Whoa, was that their chance?
Oh, yeah. You remember that? They have one of the best old school, like 1970s songs. You never heard the one that goes, "Raise your hand, everybody. For Philadelphia 76ers." You never heard that?
No.
Oh, dude.
I might be a fan now. I mean, honestly, this is a weird...
It's like legit great. It's like Sanford and Son. It's like real funky and like, oh yeah. If you can find that later on, Stiz, it's excellent. All right, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, I just thought the big brain on Brad would do a better job than this.
Has anybody like tarnished their reputation, other than Phil Mickelson, in the last month? who has tarnished their reputation in sports more than Brad Stevens?
I mean, Brad Stevens isn't, like, groping people.
No, I didn't mean that.
The Phil Mickelson thing's a little different.
But honestly, like, it was totally in Brad we trust. He was the gold standard. He is the reigning executive of the year. And then the Vucevic trade, which was horrible, and then missing on Giannis, and then this.
You see, the Vucevic thing is like, all right, well, that just happens sometimes. I mean, sometimes you get somebody that doesn't work out. And matter of fact, when he made that, I was like, hey, pretty good trade. And then he ended up stinking. But this is just such an egregious F-up. Yeah, I mean.
What's worse, missing out on Giannis or trading Jalen for Paul George?
Trading Jalen for Paul George. Because if you missed out on Giannis, you could have still had Jalen here, and it would have been a pretty good team.
Yeah, I guess. But it was a point of no return, and they, for whatever reason, felt it was. What did Mannix say? They had JB had to go. I don't know why he had to go.
I don't know. All I know
is
that.
Will we ever find that out?
You know, it wasn't the Celtics' choice that Giannis picked Miami. I know they could have done a little bit more, but in this case, they didn't have to take the Paul George deal.
Correct.
This deal's awful. All right, let's go to the next message for ownership here.
Circumcision Chisholm. Great work. You just chopped the balls off a once proud franchise just to save your private equity partners a few dollars. Great. I hope you're proud. Get ready for the sell the team shirts because you, sir, suck at life.
I mean, if you're with Grouse, do you feel pretty good this morning?
Yeah, you do.
You're just kind of like, hey, you know, it was pretty awesome, wasn't I?
Wick was awesome.
Wick's dad was even better.
Sure. Well, whatever. Love the Grouse.
Is that like the craziest story in Boston sports? That for all this time, we thought Wick was like the big owner and he only owned like 0.02% of it or whatever
it
was?
I still give it to him. I'm just like lumping it in together. His dad would have given him the money anyway.
I guess. It was weird that nobody ever dug up that story until like the team was being sold. That he like really didn't own any of it.
This is not the day to rip Wick. I mean, come on.
Oh, no. I think that what he did was, I mean, you see, that's the difference between having a private equity controlling everything and a dude that, like, really wants to win. That guy went all in, and they spent way too much money the year they won the championship, and look what it got you.
Now, this is the NBA's effort to get a parity-driven league, and we have seen it, and it's working interest-wise. I mean, it is creating a parity-filled East. Can you definitively, I guess the Knicks, but who definitively would you pick, like, 1 through 5? There's a lot of contenders. Cleveland's a contender. Then obviously, the Pistons are a contender. Orlando, I guess, is an outside contender.
It's the Knicks.
Pacers.
I do think the 76ers, there's potential there for them to implode. Like that. That's going to be fun to watch. That's going to be really fun to watch. Let's go to the next message for Brad Stevens.
Hourback hotline.
Yes.
Hey, to that analytic guy that was just on. Why didn't you go back and do it on every Celtic that's ever played? Every Celtic that brought 18 damn championships, okay? You got me so pissed I can't talk. But anyway, go back and put it on the air. Let's do it for Jason Tatum. Let's do it for Derek White. Let's do it for Pritchard. Let's do it for every other team member. And one more thing. Jaylen Brown can't make other people play. They have to do their job.
I love Mama Fratelli. I do. I don't know if I'd like to live with Mama Fratelli, just every once in a while when she calls in, she kind of sets things right. Let's go to Colton on line 3. He's got the positive side of all this. Colton, what's happening?
What's up, guys? First time calling the new show. All right, so I've been thinking about it, and, like, when did it stop becoming about putting the best players on a team to win a game? And, you know, it's not necessarily about having the most talent. Now, don't get me wrong, they need talent. Did they get less talented? Yes, but, I mean, hell, they got Conley. They got Robinson. They got a big guy. Like, maybe they'll have a little bit better of a team to win basketball, you know, in crunch time. I mean, what do you guys think? Are they going to keep George or what?
I'm just pissed at the trade. As I said, there's a very good basketball reason for getting rid of Jaylen Brown. I understand that. But the fact that they got garbage back is really, like, it pisses me off. Let's go to Lucas on line 4. Lucas, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
All right. All I'm hearing is how everyone doesn't like this trade. I love this trade, okay? I love Paul George, and I love this move for the Celtics.
Okay.
Is there a punchline?
I know, I would actually love, I'm waiting. Why do you love Paul George on the Celtics?
All right, so, you know, Jaylen Brown, he's been okay, but I feel like he just hasn't been the player that we've needed, and this trade for the Celtics, Look, we have two first-round picks and two second-round picks. You know what you could get in a second-round pick? You could get a Nikola Jokic and Isaiah Thomas. Oh, so it's kind of great.
All right, there it is. Thank you, Lucas. Cape weekend has started.
I do love it. Let's go to Cooper. What's up, Cooper? How's it going, buddy?
Hello, Cooper.
What's up, guys? I'm just wondering why we're all forgetting about how good Jason Tatum is. If Jaylen Brown can, you know, hold on for a season, he won one. That guy's egotistical, and there's a reason why we had to get rid of him. Jason Tatum's a facilitator. He's a real team guy. Why are we forgetting about, you know, the team and just Jaylen Brown? You know, I don't mind losing him. Jason Tatum is everything and more.
Hey, Cooper, there is a chance that this could help him go next level. I mean, honestly, if Jason Tatum is the guy and he doesn't have to share the role of the alpha on the court anymore, there is a chance that you could see him, you know, ascend in the same way that everyone's writing about Peyton Pritchard, that they're, you know, talking about how Derek White might get back to what he is. According to this analytics guy, Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports, he thinks that Jaylen Brown makes everyone on the court worse when he's on the court. As a matter of fact, he wrote one of the most convincing articles I have ever read, to the point where I'm still crushed about this trade. But if you want something that makes you feel a little bit better, this dude used not technical analytics, but like numbers that you can understand to show you that maybe, just maybe, this team is better off without Jaylen Brown.
Okay, but
go ahead.
Okay, so you have a guy in here in Tatum that could be as good as like Bird level Celtics if he wins two more titles. But Larry Bird had some supporting cast. If you're Tatum and you're in your prime, you need a supporting cast, not Paul George on the last year of or two of a contract at age 36. Aren't you pissed if you're Tatum? I mean, yes, you're inspired. Yes, you want to go to the next level. Yes, you want to prove you don't need Jaylen to win necessarily, but you want Brad to do good things, not first-round picks in 2031.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for you?
I have a name for you, Baylor Shireman.
Okay.
There you go. And Hugo Gonzalez, Ron Harper Jr.
Have you heard Peyton Pritchard's the new Jalen Brunson?
That's the best. That is my. Once again, I have a text chain of all my friends making fun of the people making that take this morning. Somebody sent that out to the hot take farmers all over the place that Peyton Pritchard is the next Jalen Brunson. But this gentleman, Tom Haberstroh, that I've been speaking of at Yahoo Sports, who thinks that this team is better off, and he does a very convincing job telling you exactly why this team is better off without Jaylen Brown. You'll hear him next. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very glad to have him on from Yahoo Sports. Tom Haberstroh, he has written the article that we've been talking about for a lot of the show today, titled, "Did the Celtics Give Away Jaylen Brown? Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as Elite of Elite." Tom, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Tom, after going through, well, first of all, what kind of response are you getting from this article from Celtics fans?
A lot of it is, thank you for writing this because it's the only thing getting me through this trade.
Believe it.
Right. I mean, it is right. It's kind of strange. It's like once he's gone, you know, because nobody here can understand it. I know when it broke yesterday, we were like, Paul George, I can't believe this. You know, you need someone to tell you, well, maybe it's not that bad when you take a look at it. And I have to be honest, you know, I was very upset about the trade, but I read your article, and by the end of it, I mean, you should truly be a lawyer. It is a really good case that you have made that proves that maybe Jaylen's not the guy that we thought he was as Celtics fans.
Well, yeah, I keep seeing that he's a top 10 player. He's a finals MVP. But as we see with this trade return from the Celtics, that they got Paul George's 2 years remaining on his contract and two first round picks, it's clear that the contract that Jaylen Brown has when he's being paid over the next 3 years, $180 million, far outweighs the on-court impact. And you can point to his scoring average and his career-high numbers and the 56 wins that the Celtics won this year and say, hey, that's a top 10 player. But the scoreboard disagrees. When he's on the floor, the Celtics offense isn't as good. Part of that is because he takes more two-pointers than any player in the NBA, but he shoots below average on those two-pointers. He misses more twos than any player in the league on average per game. And a lot of that inefficiency has suffered the Celtics offense. When he's off the floor, suddenly they're shooting better. The ball is moving more. And I think it can be pointed to he's a really high usage, high volume guy that soaked up a lot of possessions for the Celtics. But when Peyton Pritchard gets the ball or Derek White gets more of the opportunities, or you see Jason Tatum in games that JB was not playing over the years, a lot of the guys around Jaylen Brown seem to be playing better. And the stats are what they are. People are saying the analytics. And I'm saying, if you think counting whether Jaylen Brown was playing or not and whether the Celtics won or not is analytics, man, my 6-year-old daughter can do that stuff, right? So
yeah. Tom, it's really striking. Like, you had a stat in here. You mentioned, you know, Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, and you like broke down. It says no player in the NBA lowers the points that that his teammates score while on the court with him more than Jaylen Brown. He lops off 4 points per 100 from each of the four teammates that share the court with him. That is astounding.
Well, I mean, when you look at the fact that he is not a playmaker, I say that with recognition that in the playoffs against the Sixers, he had more turnovers than assists. And that has happened quite a bit in Jaylen Brown's career. And that's not what you see from superstars. Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they don't have negative turnover ratios in playoff series. But Jaylen Brown has had 12 of them in his career, which is the same number of times that he's had a positive assist to turnover ratio in a playoff series. So think about that. This happens quite a bit, is that he is not a guy that is going to be the engine of your offense when he makes everybody else around him better. And in fact, you see Peyton Pritchard in the 10 games that he did not have to play with Jaylen Brown, he was putting up star numbers, 25 points per game, 7 assists per game, 5 rebounds per game. Peyton Pritchard, 6'1", putting up big time numbers, and not just in the games that Jaylen Brown didn't play. He seemed to level up when he was in the same game with Jaylen Brown and just getting those opportunities against second units. Of course, you're going to have more efficient outings. But this is, you know, this part of the explanation why Brad Stevens is willing to make the deal that he did is Bill Simmons has the Ewing theory that sometimes stars are dragging down the team. And maybe after that star player leaves, the team suddenly flourishes without that guy. I'm not saying that the Celtics are going to be a 56-win team next year, but I think there is something to it that he isn't bringing the best out of his teammates, and maybe his defensive impact is not the same as his reputation. And it really is hard to reconcile the star accolades of Jaylen Brown and also the fact that with him not in uniform, Celtics are 36-6 over the last three seasons. So that is astounding. And it's not the case with Jason Tatum. Yes, without him this year, the Celtics were the second seed for the majority of the season. But the on-off splits are not nearly as devastating. When you look at that, off-court numbers for Jason Tatum are not nearly as tough as they are when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
Tom, this is a fascinating conversation. It's great to have you on. You said that you tweeted out that you think this might be one of the bigger trades that where it's a lose-lose scenario. Okay, just your thoughts on why this might be a bad trade, not only for the Celtics, but also for the Sixers.
Well, the Sixers, of course, when you get a guy like Jaylen Brown, you're going to get a high usage, just a tough, bruising downhill guy. But you're not going to get a good shooter. He is a below average 3-point shooter, not a guy that you can kick out to and on those pull-ups. He's not a spacer like you need around Joel Embiid. And Tyrese Maxey is way more efficient. He can also drop 30 a night like Jaylen Brown. He's going to do it on fewer shots and fewer turnovers. And so you add Jaylen Brown to that mix. They don't have really much shooting outside of Tyrese Maxey. And Joel Embiid is going to want tons of touches. Tyrese Maxey deserves tons of touches. And when you insert Jaylen Brown into the equation and the vengeance that he's going to want to have after getting, you know, traded by the Boston Celtics, I just don't see that he is going to be willing to take a backseat to those guys and take a step back in terms of his usage rate. I think he wants to do more. And so I think he's going to go John Wick on everybody next season, including the Boston Celtics. And I don't think he's going to have the same sort of efficiency. And so I think when you look at Jaylen Brown going into the 76ers organization, he's also going to be expecting a 2-year extension. You can logically say that the Celtics were not willing to go deep on an additional 2 years he's eligible for at $70 million per year, which would, guys, they call me an analytics guy, but again, $180 million coming to Jaylen Brown in the next 3 years, guaranteed, and then you have a two-year extension with $140 million on top of that. That is $320 million that potentially the Sixers are going to be adding to their payroll for Jaylen Brown if they agree to an extension. So I do think that there is potential for them to regret making this trade down the line if he is not willing to take a back seat when necessary to Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is as good of a scoring guard as you'll find in the NBA, and I just wonder if he's going to lose a lot of touches and the offense will suffer at times with Jaylen Brown trying to make a statement about where he is in today's NBA.
All right, we're talking to Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo Sports. This is a really a fascinating article, Why Analytics Don't See Philly's New Star as the Elite of the Elite. So I read it, and as I said, you make a very compelling case. The numbers are great, kind of eye-opening and shocking, to be quite honest. But then, you know, afterwards, you step back and you go, but hang on. This guy was the MVP 2 years ago of the finals, and you know, was excellent during that playoff run. On top of that, he did, without Jason Tatum, bring this team to be the two seed on a year that everyone thought they were going to be awful. How do you reconcile the two, the analytics, and then the fact that with our own eyes, we've seen him rise to the occasion when you needed him?
Well, let's also remember that was not a unanimous finals MVP. Okay, he did win the finals MVP, but it was split. Gary Washburn also voted for Jason Tatum, one of the four voters for that finals MVP. So it wasn't like it was a unanimous choice like we see typically in the finals MVP. I will also say that it has been kind of rocky when you look at the overall ledger of Jaylen Brown's playoff career. My brother, big Celtics fan, remembers that 2023 game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat, which he had eight turnovers and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And at that time, there were a lot of Celtics fans who were not happy with his postseason performance. And then, of course, washed all of that away the next year in 2024 with that pretty sensational playoff run. But still, it wasn't unanimous that Jason Tatum wasn't the finals MVP that year, splitting the vote 7-4. And I will also say, look, man, it's a tough sport to analyze. 56 wins from a team that lost Jason Tatum for the majority of the year. It's hard to argue that Jaylen Brown wasn't a big help to the Celtics. But there's another side to this story, is that the Celtics continually, year after year, have won without Jaylen Brown. And obviously Brad Stevens is here saying, we believe that we can still be a title contender without Jaylen Brown, despite all of his accolades over the years. Remember, everyone in the NBA, the executives, voted Brad Stevens as the executive of the year this year. And that is a executive award, not a media award. And so the media gave Jaylen Brown second team All-NBA, just one vote away from, or I guess Cade Cunningham had an exemption, or else Jaylen Brown would have been a first team All-NBA. But that's media. The executives, clearly with this return with the Philadelphia 76ers, it was not as frothy of a return as many expected in the media, but I think there is a disconnect between what the media thinks of Jaylen Brown and also what the executives in the market around the league. Clearly, Brad Stevens decided something happened, something had to have changed in the organization, their value of Jaylen Brown, because I am stunned that he was traded for this return. But given all the numbers, and given all the talk about how many times he's been floated in trades, whether it's Kevin Durant or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kawhi Leonard, what have you, at some point, Brad Stevens and the organization decided to split up their duo. And it is still surprising, even though I think Jaylen Brown is probably more of a top 25 player in my book than a top 10 player. But still, Paul George on that contract, yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, Tom, you got me thinking, and that's a dangerous thing. Because I came in being extremely pissed about this, but you're reminding me of those playoff moments, the times he dribbled off his foot, you know, in big-time spots. Yeah, it's a great article, because at least it gives you the tools that if you need something to help you go to sleep at night as a Celtics fan, this might be the thing. It's a good bedtime story to read, Tom, if anything.
Yeah, I'm going to read it to my daughters here, my 9-year-old and my 7-year-old. We'll see what they think of it.
Awesome, Tom. Hey, thanks Tom. So much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Yeah. To the analytics folks out there, go away on this one. Like, go back to bed. Analytics say that the Celtics are better without Jaylen Brown. Like, 56 wins? Yeah, the team sucked in the first round of the playoffs. But they suck for lots of reasons. Conference Finals MVP, Finals MVP, 56 wins. Those numbers, those accomplishments matter to me more.
So don't think that we don't get both sides, baby.
Thank you, Mannix.
We got a guy from Yahoo Sports, Tom Haberstroh, thanks for coming on, who said statistics say that Jaylen Brown stinks. And Chris Mannix says, yeah, you know what? Go F yourself. I got my own eyes. I see what I see.
Told Ted to shut up.
He did. He told him to sit down. It is Rich, Ken, Ted, right here on 93.7 WEEI. And this drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I just saw a picture that somebody tweeted of a big sign in front of the Bobby Orr statue at TD Garden that says, sell the team.
Really?
Yep.
Bruins or Celtics?
I have a feeling. Oh, then it says, thank you, Jaylen, at the bottom of it. So I'm assuming, you know, maybe it's just me, but I'm assuming that is
people were pissed off about the big Will Borden signing.
That could be the case. Let's go to, I was going to go to line two. It was a good call. Let's go to line three. Three, what's up there, Mike? How's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey.
Just got a big hypothetical, obviously, with the whole Jaylen Brown, Paul George trade. What if big brain Brad Stevens is thinking of possibly putting Paul George maybe back to the Clippers for a package who they recently acquired, Brandon Ingram and Grady Dick? I don't know if you guys think that would even be a possibility or if that's on the board.
Who knows?
I would love it.
It would be great. If he could do anything with him. I know there was that Anthony Davis thing that was out there for a minute.
That's perk hoping. I mean, they said they're not trading Davis, I guess, Washington. But, yeah, I mean, I hope with all these first-round picks, you're not done, to Perk's point. Because right now, do you think this roster is good enough to win the East? I do not.
Oh, no. Not to win the East, no. But I do think there's a chance that you could do better than the Sixers, and that's not because of the Celtics being good. It's because I think the Sixers could implode.
Could be the only thing you're, like, watching this year. Who's better, Sixers or Celtics? It's like runner-up trophy, you know?
Yeah, truly. I just think that the Sixers find a way to shoot themselves in the foot all the time.
By the way, breaking news in the baseball world. Yes. Not much Red Sox today, but the discipline has been handed down from the benches clearing incident. And Wilson Contreras has been suspended for 7 games.
7!
Thank you. As has Nats pitcher Cade Cavalli.
That's weird because he wasn't even ejected.
Correct. Shows you the ump screwed it up. Miles Michaelis got 5 for wrestling Nate Eaton, who got 3 for all losing right. the said wrestling match.
Yeah, Miles, is it Michaelis or Michaelis?
Michaelis?
Okay, Michaelis. So he was the one who said in his interview with Rob Bradford, he said that, yeah, you know, none of us really want to fight, but we also want to act tough. So we just go out there and find a guy we might know from another team and pretend to fight for a little bit.
They like locked arms and did some kind of like, it looked like Norm Peterson and Moonglow in the old Cheers episodes when they would like wrestle and not move. I don't know if you ever,
it was like this kind of bear hug.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just kind of rolled onto the ground. How funny is that? The dude gets suspended for just like trying to be a stand-up guy for his buddy. Yeah, we want to kind of show up, we support him. And, you know, none of us really want to get in a fight. That was so awesome that he just gave away, you know, he told everyone what y'all knew. He's like, yeah, we just go fake it out there. But then again, you know.
Seven games, though. God, they're cooked.
You cannot
miss Wilson Contreras for 7 games. This, as bad as this offense already is, they'll score 0 runs.
Listen, the minute he threw that helmet and started tweeting a fan saying he was going to fight him, then that's on him. Getting pissed off at someone saying, sit down, boy, is one thing. Like, that's like, all right, man, you know, that you can't do that. But when he threw the helmet and then he just said, come meet me at Fenway.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. They didn't address that but I thought that might get him 3 more games.
I thought that was part of it, that was something they were considering, when they were giving him his punishment.
It does say for his actions during and following the benches clearing incident.
Okay. So. Then that's what it is. It's because they said that they were going to look at that. He's threatening to fight. How great is it that like while he's in the stadium, he's on Instagram seeing what everyone's saying about his fight, and then he's just like, yeah, come over here, I'll kick your ass.
Keep me on Jersey Street, bro.
Right. Let's go to Barry, line 2. What's up, Barry? How's it going?
First time, long time. Love the show. Happy 250.
Thanks, you too, buddy. Barry.
I'm calling. I've been a long time Celtics fan. I'm a season ticket holder since the heyday with Bird, McHale, Seasting, Klein, Kevin Gamble. And I've been sick to my stomach over this, what the brass have done to Jaylen Brown. I actually wrote them and told them I'm giving up my season tickets. Ooh. And I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to play a little trivia with you guys.
Okay.
All right, it's got to be quick.
Who won the championship this year?
Well, it'd be the Knicks.
The Knicks. And who did they play?
I didn't know I was going to be questioned here. I, of course, the Spurs.
And who was the best player on the Spurs?
That would be Wembanyama.
And so I have people on the ground in San Antonio who have told me that they don't think Wembanyama can do it. His confidence is shattered. And so why didn't Brad Stevens pull the trigger, do a straight-up Jaylen for Wembanyama, and bring him and Tatum?
Save that. Awesome.
People are gone. People are just cooked.
I don't know. But all I know, is I'm sorry, but I'm getting very excited because there has been something that our own Dale Ordway, Jackson in the other room, has been working on for an entire show. Like, I mean, I'm talking.
And he left Stiz by himself. Stiz had to do everything by himself to do this.
All I know is that he's been working on something for us. I've been very excited. He just wrapped it up. None of us have heard this. But he has put together something that encapsulates how he feels about the Jaylen Brown trade.
You know, it's hard to be this funny. It takes a while sometimes.
Shall we let it roll, Stiz? Let's take a listen.
Front office on the phone line. Fencing, please say it's all fine. I can't remember if I cried when I saw the breaking news arrive, but something hit me deep inside the day the Jays duo died. So bye-bye, Jaylen Brown, you're the guy. I drove my truck to the garden, but the garden was dry. Then good old Fins were drinking salmon, crying, singing, this will be the day that we riot. This will be the day that we riot. We checked the picks, we checked the hall, said there has to be another call. No way this deal was really done. Somebody wake me from this dream. Tell me it's all just a meme. And Brad Stevens is just having a little fun. Right now, every caller's gotta take. Every host says it's what you'd make. But nobody feels alright watching number 7 leave that night.
Nice job, Jack. Pretty good. You're offbeat a little.
I'm sorry, America.
Right, no. Listen, it's another classic. It's another Dale Ordway classic.
Watch number 7. What? What was the last part?
That goes right up there with the Hey Hooters song.
I think it is.
Leave or something.
I thought it was Faith. Can I just hear a Hey Hooters? Hey Hooters. I still sing your Hooters song.
I do too, surprisingly.
To myself. Like, oh, hey, Hooters, you're so fine. You're so fine. You're one of my Hey Hooters.
And you know what I realized? It's old Mickey, not Hey Mickey. So I screwed that whole thing.
Hey Hooters, it's goodbye. I've been going there since I can drive. Hey Hooters. Hey Hooters.
Yeah,
Hooters. It's not Hey Mickey?
It's Oh Mickey.
Yeah,
oh,
really?
Mickey, you're so fine. You're somebody to play mine. Then it goes, Hey Mickey. But it's Oh Mickey and then Hey Mickey.
Oh.
I believe. I don't know.
I'm Mandela affected.
Totally.
That's the right way to use that.
By the way, that song was brought to you by Milligan and Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com.
I'm sorry, Milligan and Higgins.
For a free consultation. No, they'll be very proud. And our introduction to Christian Arcan is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easiest and easiest way to get rid of your old car, donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Christian Arcan.
Nice job last night, Arcan.
Thank you.
Good job.
Nice to have some breaking news. And thank you for bringing the Rich Shurtleff curse of breaking news, not breaking during your show,
it never does.
To afternoons, because that really helped me out last night. I appreciate it.
News always broke as soon as I got off the air. Thank you for taking Rich in the car yesterday
on
the phone.
Don't make that a regular thing.
I won't. Hopefully I don't get bad news like that often. I was literally just driving around, passing my house, just like, I can't, I got to.
People called up, they're like, I've been sitting in my driveway since the news broke.
just sitting there, like, wow. Stunned.
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
It was that kind of thing. Yeah, it was that kind of news.
And there was like, there's no more to this? This is it?
Except yeah. Ted was fist bumping, like, yes.
Yes, he was. All right, everybody, have yourself an awesome 4th of July weekend.
You too.
And safe. Here comes Christian Arcan giving you hours and hours of quality radio. We will see you next week. Bye.
Jalen for Wembanyama.